From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Discuss the weather forecast, and along the way today, I'll remind you to go visit with Dave Dickey tonight. He's the Director of Ag Programming for Will Ag, and we'll be in Mazan along with Jerry Goodell, Kurt Kimmel, and Bill Mayer. The Ag Outlook panel starts at 7 o'clock. More details as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On this Thursday afternoon, checking the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago, where the soft red winter wheat finished 10.5 cents higher at $6.57 in the December contract, the March contract at $6.67.5, up a dime, and July of next year at $6.68.5, 10 and a quarter higher. The hard red July finished at $6.99.5. That was up 8.5 cents on the day. December corn futures at $4.95, or rather $4.59.5. You got happy there for a moment, didn't you? December corn at $4.59.5, a settlement price up 3.25. March at 4.72, up 3.25, and the May at 4.80.25, 3.25 higher. July at $4.86.75, up 3 cents. In December, $4.97.5, that for next year, up 2.25. November beans, $13.39.5, down 8.25. January at $13.41.5, 8.75 lower. And March soybeans down 9.25 at $13.23.25. May futures $13.75, down 6 cents for the day, and July beans down 5.5 at $12.93.75. The November contract of next year at $11.87, down 2.25. October bean meal at $421.60, down $5.40. Bean oil at $42.71, that's up 24. Live cattle futures finished the October at $125.92.5, up 65 cents per 100 pounds. December live cattle at $129.72.5, up 77.5. The October feeders at $159.37.5, $1.07.5 higher. And November futures there at $160.02.5, up $1.02.5. And the lean hogs finished the October at $91.15, 57.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. October contract, $106.15 a barrel, $1.92 lower. The wholesale price of gasoline, or RBOB, at $2.69.4. That's down 4.7 cents. And the ethanol futures trading at $1.88 a gallon. That's up 3.7. So the difference between the two, or the spread, now at 81.3 cents. 8.4 cents narrower than yesterday. And natural gas at 378.9 in the November is just about 2 tenths of a cent higher. Diesel fuel at $2.99.9, down 4 cents for the day. And the gold futures in the October contract at $1,369.50 an ounce, $61.80 higher. The U.S. dollar trading 80.37 is up 0.13 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Isolated showers, a few thunderstorms, those will come after 4 today. Mostly sunny skies, otherwise a high of 90 degrees in the area. On a southwest wind at 13 miles an hour, it'll gust to 20. Chance of precipitation set between 20% and 35%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely. Those will mainly come after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, and a low of 68 degrees with a south-southwest wind at 10 miles an hour, gusting to 15. The chance of precip this evening set at 60%. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, says the National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy, high of 79 degrees. It's going to rain, most likely 70%. And Friday night, showers and thunderstorms before 8 in the evening. Mostly cloudy, a low of 54. Should be a wet evening for football across the area. Chance of precipitation at 60% tomorrow night. And Saturday, sunny skies and 72 degrees. On a north-northwest wind at a 7 to 11 miles an hour. Saturday night, mostly clear, and 50 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On the phone line with us, he's headed towards Texas, but Texas A&M is my guess at this point, is Dan Swicker at CGB Enterprises. He's usually out of Mandeville, Louisiana, pulled over somewhere on I-10, I suspect. Maybe in Louisiana still this afternoon. I saw you this morning, Dan, on your video cast from CGB up on YouTube wearing your Texas A&M shirt. Didn't make me very happy. I like the Tuesday color better, which was orange, by the way.
Well, we're kind of down from losing last week, but Alabama didn't meet the point spread, so all of us Aggie fans got paid in cash only this week.
Well, that's it.
So we're going to spend that cash only this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Hey, another thing that looks good, at least at this point, and you can tell me, when I watched you this morning on your YouTube video from CGB, and people, I think, can they just search for CGB, or they search for CGB and Dan Swicker, one of the two? You were talking about maybe finishing the week out in corn with a second outside up for the weekly trade. Do you think that's very likely to happen for the December contract?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be an outside up, but we're in good shape to have a hook reversal up. We closed right at last week's close here today. I think last week we closed at 59, and we finished the day out here at 59.5. So if we could show some follow-through tomorrow on corn and close above this 460, 461, that would then score that what I would call as a weekly reversal to the upside, which would go along with the weekly reversal up that we had there after the August crop report in middle August. And this week's low held above that low. So then chart types will begin to visualize that the overall trend shift is maybe shifting to something sideways to higher, because you do have a line that you can draw from the August low to the September low, and then you can draw a parallel line and connect it to the high that we had here a couple weeks ago up around this 508 area. So then we would have a channel anyway that traders could or technicians would watch for. So that's kind of what I'm looking at from a technical point of view. Most of the crash in the prices has been done with basis, the transition from a very tight old crop situation to a more plentiful new crop situation. So the futures don't necessarily have to go down. I mean, I think the basis basically did that from going from a premium basis down to maybe an option basis to even under the December futures, depend upon you know, how close you are to a processing plant.
You think that the sideways channel, but it's about a, 65 to 70 cent trading range from, as you said, up on the top side at 508 and on the bottom side are down around $4.45 or thereabouts, can hold for very long?
I'm in the opinion it can. Confirmation, I think. I do want to see some good, strong closes above this 474 area. That's going to be a big hurdle to get above. But once you do that, then I think then you're really keyed up then to take out the 508 high, which would put you somewhere in the 510s. Now, at that point, that would be at the top end of this sideways to higher channel, and that would probably offer a lot of resistance or, you know, we're going to have resistance all the way up, but I think the you know, best ever yields talk is behind us. I mean, that came out of the Ohio River Valley, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio. Those were just best ever yields, just fantastic yields. We had strong yields out of the Mississippi, Arkansas area. Now, as we move north and as we move west, I think you're going to begin to hear more modest yields. I know Central Illinois is pulling down some good, strong yields in this 180 to 200. Some some pop above the 210, 220 area, but most of them, I think, are being caught somewhere in between 180 and 200. And I think as you get into the later corn, the yields are going to fall off. So I think trade talk about best ever yields and record yields and all that is probably behind us. I think the acreage report that does imply that USDA is going to have to whack harvested acres on both corn and soybeans. To what extent, that's up for debate. Everybody's got an opinion on that. But it looks to me like you could begin to argue that the largest supply has been talked about, and now supplies are beginning to shrink. And when supplies shrink, prices have to reflect a smaller supply by moving higher. So that's my speculation, at least at this point.
Okay, so a couple of other things. Are you thinking the cut in acreage will drop us 100 million, 200, or 300 million? And then is the export market stronger for corn than expected?
No, the export market's going to be pretty weak for a while. We just got too much South American corn and Black Sea corn that's available to world inventories. But the thing that we got to keep in mind is that we got to look toward the future. And the future is the corn-soybean ratio is going to encourage larger soybean plantings in the southern hemisphere. It looks like we've made a major low, I think, in the wheat market. The export sales in wheat are very, very strong. And I think wheat is going to begin to now start gaining on corn. Soybeans have already gained on corn. I think if wheat starts going, then wheat then begins to price itself out of the feed rations. And then all of a sudden, the fundamentals down the road are a little more price constructive. And, of course, we don't know what South American weather is going to be all about yet either. So, it's a struggle. I don't want to give any impression that the corn market's a big bull in here. I'm just kind of pointing out that I think maybe the worst of the bearishness, for now anyway, is behind us. The Federal Reserve Board is going to continue pumping, and I think that tells you that there'll never be a good time to taper. And then if Bernanke is replaced by Yellen, which is another Ivy League-educated economics professor from Berkeley, my guess is that she's going to be very easy on monetary policy. So I think, you know, we're kind of back into the 70s area where the Federal Reserve Board just kept printing money, and then all of a sudden inflation begins to take off. And you saw that begin to take hold in all the commodities here today. Gold is already $90 off yesterday's low. So I think maybe if the Fed's going to continue to print money forever here, then I think that's going to maybe bring back more money or more interest in owning commodities, and maybe we have another run in commodities.
Hey, thanks much, and have fun at the Aggie game.
Sure will.
Okay, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the closing market report for Thursday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, now joins us with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a panel of federal judges yesterday upheld California's first-in-the-nation mandate requiring fuels producers to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The low-carbon fuel standard is a key piece of California's landmark global warming law and is meant to cut the state's dependence on petroleum by 20% by 2020. The daily congressional newspaper The Hill is reporting that China has a growing interest in eventually joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Recently, the Chinese government referred to the Asia-Pacific Trade Agreement as part of a trade scheme by the U.S. designed to keep China from gaining global ground. But with Japan joining the talks, Chinese officials are looking at the talks more positively. Leaders of the 12 nations involved in the TPP negotiations have said they plan to finish the deal by the end of the year. An amended civil lawsuit says that John S. Corzine and other former MF Global Holdings executives acted recklessly and with gross negligence by using customer funds to cover for the company's foreign debt that's gone bad. In the filing with U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Manhattan, a litigation trustee, Eagle Rock Capital Management, said the former executives broke the law when they used segregated customer funds to cover the losses. A spokesperson for Corzine declined to comment on the complaint. The complaint also says that because Corzine used complicated repo to maturity instruments to bet on the foreign debt, MF Global was able to artificially inflate its revenue. Conagra Foods' fiscal first quarter earnings declined 42% as its packaged food consumer segment recorded weaker results. The maker of Hunt's Ketchup, Peter Pan Peanut Butter, and Slim Jims reported a profit of $144.3 million, or 34 cents a share, down from $250.1 million, or 61 cents a share a year earlier. Sales in ConAgra's consumer foods unit, its biggest by revenue, fell 1.8% to $2 billion as operating profit slumped 21%. U.S. chief executives are less optimistic about the economy that, according to a new survey released yesterday, the Business Roundtable said that its quarterly index, which measures the economic outlook of CEOs from the largest U.S. companies, fell to 79.1 in the third quarter from 84.3 in the previous quarter. Any reading above 50 suggests expansion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Deb Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and he'll host this evening's Will Ag Outlook panel. That's at the American Legion in Masson, Illinois. Dinner starts at 6:30. The Outlook panel at 7 o'clock. It's sponsored by the Grundy County Farm Bureau. Dave and Jerry Goodell of Rice Dairy, along with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing will be in Masson starting at 7 o'clock with the Outlook panel. It's open to everybody. Remember, 6:30 for dinner, 7 o'clock for the Outlook panel in Masson tonight. Dave Dickey and company for a Will Ag Outlook panel.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Up next, you know there are more than 77 million acres of soybeans in the United States. Very few of these beans will be consumed out of the pod by us, but as you'll hear, there is a push to grow more variety suitable for vegetable crop production. We're all familiar with fields of soybeans, even if we don't recognize the crop. It's grown and harvested in the Mississippi River Valley from New Orleans to Minnesota, and the soybean pods hang brown and fuzzy, just waiting for the farmer to combine them. But what if we took just a few of those 77 million acres and harvested the pods while they were still green? That's when we call it edamame, says University of Illinois researcher Marty Williams.
Immature soybeans, yes, vegetable soybeans, also known as edamame, basically soybean, a certain special types of cultivars that have been selected for fresh eating or lightly processed where they're harvested at the full seed stage. And they're still green long before the plant starts to senesce, which we would be the traditional soybeans.
A soybean breeder at Illinois saw the potential to make good-tasting vegetable crop soybeans, and Dick Bernard did. It's just now that vegetable processors in the United States are seeing enough local demand to think about contracting a few acres to be harvested. And Illinois is again involved, this time doing wheat science research.
Work we're doing here is looking at crop tolerance to a few of the herbicides that the growers and processors would like to have available. But then we're also doing work on weed management systems, where it's not just relying on herbicides, but a number of different weed management tactics to see how do we put these together in a package to manage weeds in this crop.
Which is a whole lot different than managing weeds in soybeans. Really.
Even though edamame is Glycinia max, the same species as soybean, because of the time of harvest and how that crop is used, it's treated differently by EPA for herbicide registration. So it's not actually, what's registered for use on soybean is not registered on edamame. It's actually more in a crop group that includes things like green beans and snow peas and crops like that.
It means a path is already in place for the production and human consumption safe management of edamame. It's just a matter of companies in the United States deciding to contract grow and harvest the green soybean. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Hey, don't forget that you can always hear our programming anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can take us with you anywhere you want to as well. In a couple of different ways, you can always call in with just a regular voicemail phone call to 217-390-1858, the voicemail being on our end, updated with the numbers either from the opening or the closing for the day, and a bit of analysis. Again, that phone number is 217-333-3434. Again, 217-333-3434. There you'll find those numbers and a bit of analysis. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. The website address for your mobile phone is m.willag.org. That's m.willag.org. And there you'll find all of our agricultural programming updated not long after it airs on our radio station. Recapping some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for the afternoon, corn futures were up 3.25 cents in the December contract, that settlement price at 459.5, and the July at 486.75 was up 3 cents. December of 2014 at $4.97.5, up 2.25. November beans at 1339.5, down 8.25 cents. The January there at 1341.5, down 8.75. July at 1293.75. 5.5 cents lower, and bean meal futures finished down 5.40. Live cattle futures were up 62.5 cents. Feeders up 65 in the October, and lean hogs in the October down 55 cents. The soft red winter wheat, by the way, finished up the December contract at $6.57. That was 10 and a half cents higher. Let's check the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Isolated showers, a few thunderstorms. Those after 4 p.m., mostly sunny, a high of 90 degrees today. South-southwest winds at 13 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 20. The chance of precipitation this afternoon, 20%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms. After 2 a.m., 60% chance of rainfall. Tomorrow, 79 degrees and a 70% chance of rainfall.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Butterscotch Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1783, the Montgolfier brothers successfully sent up for the first time ever some live animals in a hot air balloon, including a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. In the audience, King Louis XVI of France and Queen Marie Antoinette. The flight lasted about 8 minutes and covered 2 miles. The younger brother, Joseph, got the idea of lighter-than-air travel when he observed laundry drying over a fire form air pockets that billowed upwards. In 1839, George Cadbury was born, an English businessman. He perfected a new cocoa bean processing technique, and the breakthrough also shepherded in federal passage of the Adulteration of Food Acts in 1872 and 1875. The acts made it an offense to sell food, drink, or drugs that were not of the nature, substance, or quality demanded by the purchaser. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died, an American businessman. He founded the gourmet popping industry. After testing tens of thousands of strains of popcorn, Redenbacher and his partner, Charles Bowman, finally hit on the right hybrid, Redbow. By the way, Purdue University granted Redenbacher an honorary doctorate degree in the College of Agriculture in 1988. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Matt Bennett at TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Have you been busy this week?
Oh, yeah, about as busy as we would have ever dreamed, I guess. We were starting to ease into it there a little bit last week, but then we've taken about as much corn as we could take this week. We've been full pretty much every day.
And I take it you were in the field as well?
Yep, we picked a little bit of corn. My dad picked several acres here in the last 3 days, and corn's been pretty good. We've been pleasantly surprised, I'd say.
As you talk to producers and take a look at what your father had brought in and knowing the yields there, have you changed your mind very much about what might be out in the countryside in the way of total corn production?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I will say that there's a lot of different opinions, and I think a lot of it had to do with the expectations going in, but certainly not everyone is really happy, I guess, with their yields. I think it's very variable. People found out in the field, you know, that they've had anything from well below average to above average. And so I think the jury's still out a little bit. I think that there are more people that are a little bit happier with their yields than what I was thinking going in. So I'm going to reserve judgment for now, but I certainly would be leaning a little bit towards your line of thinking there.
Are you of the idea that USDA in its October report, or I suppose maybe later if they don't get the FSA numbers in completely, will take more than just a few acres out of the harvested number?
I think they're going to take several acres out of the harvested number, and I think that corn, you know, could have the tendency to maybe grow just a little bit on yield if there's enough people out there that have better corn than what they thought they were going to have. I know that's it sounds like it's talking in circles, but I guess my gut feeling's corn yield may rise. I have to think bean yield's going to come down, though.
Wait, if the corn yield rises, do you think the production number, total production number, will stay close to the 1.8, even if they drop acreage figures then?
I kind of feel like the total production will stay fairly consistent. I think that, yield might go up a little bit, but they're going to have to drop acreage. So on corn, I don't see the total production number growing much.
Well, yeah, that was my thought, but it wouldn't shrink much either, in your opinion. Okay. So what does that tell you about what producers ought to be doing with their corn crop as they begin the harvest process?
Well, I think here at the start, I think it's been a no-brainer with some good drying deals and early premiums, and those seem to be slowly going away. And as that happens, I think a producer has to look and see what percentage he's at, see how that fits into his insurance program, and by all means, I wouldn't be pushing a whole lot of sales with no premium. at this point, especially if a person is able to get some pretty decent sales on. And if I did, before knowing what my insurance situation was going to be, I'd probably enter in some risk management to kind of protect myself from a huge price jump.
And for soybeans, you got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, with soybeans, to me, I think Margaret's telling you to go ahead and sell them, but I think I wouldn't mind having some re-ownership as far as calls or whatnot. And I think these beans aren't as good as what we've been thinking, and there's definitely a chance for a rally.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. And he'll be one of our panelists in studio for Commodity Week. We'll record that tomorrow at 4:30. Post it to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a safe afternoon.